This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم وملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم بالشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن قل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا وأنه تعالى جد ربنا ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. In today's khutbah, I want to start by talking to you about the difficulty that all messengers have in conveying the message of Islam. All of them, عليهم الصلاة والسلام. In particular, one that had unique difficulty, unlike any other, is Nuh alayhi salam, who's talked about on many occasions in the Quran, but particularly the last time that he's talked about in the Mus'haf is in Surah Nuh. After Surah Nuh, you don't find mention of Nuh alayhi salam in the Mus'haf, except by Isha'ah. Directly, he's not mentioned. And in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not act, instead of talking about his patience, which he does on many other occasions, and talking about how long he stayed with his people. Like in Surah Al-Ankabut, he says, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. He stayed with them 1,000 years, except for 50. So 950 years he stayed among his people and delivered the message to them. Even that statement that is from Surah Al-Ankabut is a surah that itself is about sabr. From the very beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah describes people, Muslims, that are being tortured, that are being persecuted. And they're taught the lesson that you need to learn, and even the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given tanqeen, is being given counsel of sabr through the example of Nuh alayhi salam. That's Surah Al-Ankabut. But the surah that I want to just briefly allude to is Surah Nuh. And Surah Nuh, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the end of the career of Nuh alayhi salam. By most accounts of the Mufassirun, this, the conversation that happens between Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nuh alayhi salam in this surah, is after Allah had revealed to him that these people are no good. The people that have come to Islam, they've come to Islam, everybody else is a lost case. You don't have to worry about them anymore. And until that time, Nuh alayhi salam did not open his mouth. And this is something about the greatness of the messengers alayhi salatu wasalam. They are among the people who curse them, who push them around. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, in one narration, in the ayah, wastakbaru istikbara, these people were very arrogant towards me, Nuh alayhi salam says. He says they used to, the young people used to, the gangsters, the thugs, used to get together, they used to beat him up until he fell unconscious. They used to find him and beat him up. And he would fall unconscious, and then he'd wake up and start doing da'wah again. That's what he would do, alayhi salam. This is a messenger of Allah. And yet he wouldn't complain about them. He knew, he understood something. If the messenger opens his mouth about the people, then those people are done. That nation will be destroyed. Our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never made dua against the Quraysh. Never made dua against the Yahud. Never made dua against the people of the book. Didn't do it. Because he knew if he ever opens his mouth about them, they are finished. They will be done. Actually, angels even come. Many of you know the story. They show up to his feet, at his feet. At the occasion of Taif, he was almost killed. He has all the right to be angry. And he didn't even ask. They offered. We can crush them now. We can just end this right now. And he says no. And this is part of the love and mercy that messengers have. Now I want you to understand things from two perspectives. Messengers love their people more than a father or a mother can love their child. They have a love for their people. That's why even Nuh alayhi salam was told, an andir qawmak. Qawmak. Not an andir hum. Qawmak. They're your people. Warn your people. When he talked to them, he said, you're my people. You know, because he feels for them and he has loyalty towards them. He cares about them. He doesn't want to see them burn in hell. He doesn't want to see them die in kufr. And the pain of Nuh alayhi salam is unique. Because according to some narrations, like Al-Mawadi rahimahullah commented, that there were 7 generations of people that he saw raised in front of his eyes. The baby is born on fitrah, such as a Muslim. And he sees him raised on shirk. And he tries to say, your parents lived in shirk. Maybe when you become a young man, I can give you da'wah. Maybe you can change. And he goes into shirk. And his child goes into shirk. And his child goes into shirk. He sees 7 generations like that. Can you imagine the pain of this man? Alayhi salam. You know, what he had to suffer. But he never opens his mouth. Never says anything about the people. Until finally, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, they're not going to believe. You've done what you can. They are not going to believe. And so then finally he opens his mouth. This is the surah. Surah Nur is when he opens his mouth. Because finally he starts speaking. He says, "Inni da'utu qawmi laylan wa naharan." I call my nation night and day. And he uses the past tense because the time to call them is over. It's now in the past. Bil madi faqat. يعني لا يقول إني أدعو قومي أو سأدعو قومي. He doesn't say I will call my nation or I am calling my nation. He says I called them. It's done. It's in the past. That part you stopped me from doing now. The thing, this is from the messenger's perspective. But I want you to understand something from the people's perspective. The ignorant people's perspective. The people of the town, they think that when Nuh alayhi salam is delivering his message, he's annoying them. Why does he keep telling us about this akhirah, afterlife, we're going to be coming out of our grave? Let's do our business. We had this nice temple build, and we have these celebrations, everybody's happy, and he comes and he starts cursing the idols. That's such a beautiful idol, what's his problem? Look at Ya'uq and Ya'uq and Nasra. We spent so much money in building them, and he comes and he ruins the party every time. What's his problem? I can't wait till he just goes away. And my father used to complain about him, and now I'm complaining about him, and my kids are going to complain about him. People used to think of him as an annoyance. They thought he was annoying. It got to the point where if he would walk by, استغشف ثيابه, they would wrap up their clothes. They say, استغشف ثوبه كي لا يسمع ولا يرى. Okay, لا يسمع ولا يرى. So he doesn't have to hear, they would stick their fingers in their ears, and they wouldn't have to see him. They just avoid him altogether. Just get away from me. They wouldn't even look at him. And then if they did speak to him, if he got stuck to them, you know, with them, he's like got a chance to talk to them, asharru. They were so persistent. They were so stubborn. Like they wouldn't want to hear. You ever talk to a person, no matter how much you try to reason with them, they say the same thing over and over again? They don't even reason. They don't even want to hear. You know? It's so frustrating to talk to people like that. And then on top of that, Nuh alayhi salam said, they did things to me, and they had attitudes towards me that are so bad, I can't even say it. وَاسْتَقْبَرُ اسْتِقْبَارَ. They were extremely arrogant. How were they arrogant? We don't know. It's too painful for him to say. So he doesn't speak. He doesn't open his mouth against them. Until now. But when he does, he lets us know, لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Night and day I try to give these people adabs. Night and day I try to give them advice. I try to give them something good. I try to give them a reminder. They just don't want to hear it. I try to tell them in their public occasions. I try to tell them in their private occasions. I try to go at nighttime when nobody's watching and say, listen, I know in public you can't accept my message because people will think you're crazy. At least at nighttime, listen to me. No, I won't tell anyone you're Muslim.
I won't even ask you to be my sahabi and support me in that. Just privately ask Allah to forgive you. That's that what you can do. People wouldn't have it. They would not have it. 950 years, 7 generations or more, they would not have it. But you have to think that the messengers of Allah, all of them, including our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than any other, they were the best speakers in human history. They were the most powerful, prolific orators in human history. There was nothing wrong with their speech on top of that. First of all, they were incredibly eloquent and very well spoken. And on top of that, Allah gave them the best possible speech anybody could ever give. Best possible speech that could be written. Because they don't speak on their own. They speak from wahi. They speak the best possible speech. And yet still it's not working. And still it doesn't work. What's incredible to me is actually this khutbah is technically not about Surah Nur. What I want to talk to you about is Surah Al-Jinn. But I wanted to introduce the subject first. Surah Nur is put in the Mus'haf, and right after it you find Surah Al-Jinn. And in Surah Al-Jinn you find something on the exact opposite side. The exact opposite side. There's a group of jinn that are just flying by or going by. Nobody sees them. We don't see the jinn. They're in the hajj house. They're going by, and the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting Quran. So the entire group of jinn stops and starts listening to the Quran. They just stop and start, and they're just baffled. The jinn are baffled. They're in shock. They're an audience to the Quran when we can't, the Sahaba can't even see them. And they're standing there listening to the Quran. When the Prophet is done, alayhi salatu wasalam, they have a reaction. They start discussing among each other what they have said. And Allah Azza wa Jal saw that that conversation was so important that He put it in the Quran. But why did I introduce you to Surah Nur first? Because when Allah decides, the same messenger can speak to you for 950 years, and you and your children and their children and their children will not listen. And when Allah decides, you don't even have to be human, you can be a jinn. And you're flying by, you're not even there to listen carefully. And you're not, you're an entire group. Do people pay more attention when you talk to them one-on-one or you talk to them in a group? When you talk to them one-on-one, in the entire decade of the da'wah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did people come to Islam in groups or one by one? They came one by one. This is a group of jinn. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّا أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِ An entire group of jinn is passing by, and they all get baffled at the same time. When Allah decides that His advice, His word, is going to go inside someone's heart, it will go. And when Allah decides, and those people don't deserve it, it will not go. One has to have some goodness in them. These jinn had some goodness in them. The word of Allah is miraculous. It is the perfect miracle of Allah. There is no doubt about it that it's the miracle of Allah. That it cannot be from a human being. But the people who have filth inside their heart will never be able to see it. They will not see it. I can give you the example of someone who has clear eyesight and someone who has wearing dirty glasses. Tainted glasses. The guy with clear eyesight can see the diamond. The guy with dirt on his glasses sees a rock. He doesn't see the diamond. You're looking at the same thing, but there's a problem in your vision. When your vision has a problem, you won't be able to see the truth. Even if it's the perfect miracle of Allah, you won't accept it. It will not be good enough for you. These jinn, they saw it and they accepted it right away, but I want to tell you what they said. How were they so amazed by the Quran? And it's so incredible, this speech, that Allah made it a part of the Quran. إِسْتَمَعَ نَفَرُ مِنَ الْجِنِ فَقَالُوا A group of jinn started listening very carefully. لَمْ يَقُلْ فَقَدْ سَمِعَ سَمِعَ نَفَقَدْ إِسْتَمَعَ نَفَقَدْ وَهَذِي مُسِيلَةُ They listened very carefully. And they said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا We've heard a recital that's unique. We've never heard anything like this before. يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ Clearly it guides to the right way. It guides to the way one should be. فَآمَنَّا بِهِ That we have come to believe in it. This is the book. We've come to believe in it right away. Did they listen to the entire Qur'an? No. They just heard a few ayat. It was enough for them to say, this is guidance. This cannot be anything else. وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا And we will not associate anyone with Allah at all, ever. In other words, they were mushrik. They used to do shirk. But just a few ayat of Qur'an and Allah washed the disease of shirk out of their hearts. Just in a few ayat of the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the ayat of Qur'an having effect. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ The messenger recites the ayat onto the people and he purifies them from the filth of shirk. It just goes away. You just recognize there has to be one God. Because that book, that speech, there cannot be from a human being. And there can't be anyone as powerful as the one who gave that speech. He just became Muslim. فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَمْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. Then they say, وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. He, Allah, is so high above. He is so majestic and so high. He did not take a spouse. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have a child. In other words, they didn't believe in the Trinity. These jinn have been exposed to Christian theology. And the form of it in which God is the mother. You know, there's different forms of the Trinity. But in one of them, the God is, many of us considered mother of God, ma'adallah. Right? So they believed in that. Now you wonder, where did they get it from? Where are the jinn learning shirk? Where are they getting it from? They say in the next ayah, وَأَنَّهُ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطَ. Our idiot, our big idiot, meaning shaytan, Iblis, used to say all kinds of wild things about Allah. All kinds of, you know, gross things about Allah. In other words, they learned shirk from Iblis, who used to be their big one, but now that they became Muslims, seconds later, he's not their leader, he's their idiot. كَانَ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطَ. But then, another interesting phenomenon. They knew, the jinn knew, that Allah has given, or human beings have more intellect, more knowledge, more ability. In some things, jinn are more powerful, but in the realm of intellect, in the realm of speech, in the realm of knowledge, human beings have been given an advantage. From the very beginning, وَعَدَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى. Adam was taught the name. So they knew that. So they thought, okay, well, our master, or our ringleader, tells us to do shirk. What do the human beings do? So they go to the human beings and they see human beings worshipping idols. They see human beings believing in Trinity. They see that too. So they say to themselves, وَأَنَّا ظَلَنَّا أَن لَن تَقُولَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنْ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَلِيمًا. We never thought that jinn and human being together would lie against Allah. Okay, maybe the jinn are wrong. Let's go check with the human beings. The human beings are also doing shirk. It must be the right thing to do. How can everybody be wrong? And so many people follow the wrong way because they look around them and say, everybody's doing it, how can it be wrong? And the jinn say, we were stupid to think, we were dumb to think that everybody does things and we should do it too. What's so bad about that? SubhanAllah. So they say, لَن تَقُولَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنَ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَلِمًا. This is where things get really interesting. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُدُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِ فَزَادُهُمْ رَهَقًا. There used to be men among the human beings. They used to seek refuge from the jinn, devil worshippers, people who call on jinn and they want jinn to do things for them. And they got more and more deeply piled in trouble. The jinn would toy with them and mess with them. The jinn would say, you were created as a better creation than us and you want our help? You must be really dumb. And they mess with these people and toy with them. So they said that we've seen human beings do some pretty ridiculous things before, but now the part that really just, it baffles me. It really does. The jinn, of course, you know and I know, they're able to travel not just in the earth, they're able to go in the sky. They're able to go in the sky. And they go in the sky all the time. Quran describes that they go in the sky and they're trying to listen to the conversations of the angels and maybe they catch something and then they say to their soothsayers and sorcerers or whatever, right, it's hocus pocus. This is what they do. But they go out into the sky. They go out into space. So they were trying to go out into space. وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ. The moment we touched the boundary of the sky, وَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا. The moment we get to the border of the sky, we found the entire sky filled with intense guards, like guardian angels, are surrounding the entire border of the sky. We can't go up. No access. Restricted. Area restricted. This is the same place they used to hang out in before, and now the entire area is closed off. And there are heavy security guards outside. وَشُهُبًا. And even if you try to go a little close, fire gets starting shot at you. There's anti-aircraft missiles being launched at them. So they can't even go where they used to go. And they say before, and in the next ayah they say, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَعِدَ لِلسَّمَاءِ. We, those are the same places we used to sit over there. We used to go hang out there all the time. So we could sit there and listen. See what's going on, you know, what else is going on? What are the angels talking about? We never saw this kind of security before. What's going on in the sky? So now when we go, they say, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَعِدَ لِلسَّمَعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنِ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابَ الْبَصَرَ. Anybody who tries to listen now, he's gonna find fire being shot directly at him. You can't even, forget, you can't even go there. Even if you're far away and you do this, you get shot at. You can't listen. So they realize the entire sky is closed off. So the only place they can hang out for now is the earth. The sky is closed for them. They can't go there right now. So they're hanging out in the earth, and that's why they happen to pass by the Quran being recited. They couldn't go up in the sky. So now that they can't go up in the sky, they all start wondering. وَأَنَّا لَا نَدْرِي أَشْهَدُوا نُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We have no idea. Is there some really big bad thing going down for the people of the earth? Or is their Lord, their Master, planning something good? Is something really awesome coming down because the whole sky is shut down? Something seems to be getting delivered. We don't know what it is. Is the entire earth about to be destroyed? Or is some good thing happening that we have no access to? Well, we have no clue. So they're discussing among themselves. What could it be? What's coming down from the sky? And then later, in the next ayah, these jinns, we learn, they're not all the same. Some people are good, some are good jinns, some are not so good jinns. So they say, أَنَّا مِنَّا صَالِحُونَ وَأَنَّا مِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Among us are good jinns, and among us are those that aren't so good. دُونَ ذَلِكَ, not quite. And then they say, كُنَّا طَرَائِقَ قِدَدًا. We were all different pathways. You know what that means? We have different lifestyles. But it also means they hang out in different places in the sky. Good jinns hang out among themselves. Bad jinns hang out among themselves. Like the Arab says, إِنَّا طُيُورَ عَلَىٰ أَشْكَالِهَا تَقَعْ. Right? Birds of a feather flock together, so the good jinn would be among themselves, the bad would be among themselves. But because the sky is cut down and shut off, they have to be together. They're all together now. The good and the bad are together. And they're having a conversation among each other. And they say, وَأَنَّا ظَلَمْنَا أَلَّا نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَنْ نُعْجِزَهُ هَرَبًا. The good ones and the bad ones, all of us realize there is no way to overpower Allah, not on the earth, and we can never escape from Allah. We thought we had open access to the sky, we can go wherever we want, but when the security system was set on, and this happened, we know now, everybody knows, the kafir jinn knows, the believing jinn knows, everybody knows, there's no escape from Allah. There's no way we can ever escape. That's why in Surah Al-Rahman, Allah says, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا. You want to go? Go. You want to get out of the sky? Go escape? Go ahead. Let's see how you go. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانٍ. You're not going anywhere without the proper authorization. You're not going anywhere. But the question is, why was the sky shut down? Why didn't they have access? And they realized the power of Allah that He shut the entire skies down. They can't go anywhere but the earth. We're not going to be able to escape Allah on the earth. Now they say, وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَىٰ آمَنَّا بِهِ. And when the moment we heard guidance, we believed in it. These jinn were walking by, flying by, whatever they do, they heard the Qur'an, and it immediately clicked. This was coming down. This is why this guy was locked up. Qur'an was coming down. It was coming to the people of the earth. Now that we hear it, we know. Because you have to understand something about the jinn. The jinn can travel everywhere. They know all the languages. They can go from China to America to the Arab. They can go everywhere. They know all the people and all their languages and all their poetry. They've heard it all. So when the jinn, who even travels outside of this world, says, I've never heard anything like this, you have to appreciate that. It's not just an Arab saying, I've never heard anything like this. The Arab may never have left Arabia. The jinn's gone everywhere. And he hears the Qur'an, and he says, no, there's nothing like this in the world. This is not from this world. This came from above. This must be the secure delivery that was coming down. Later on in the Qur'an, we learn how the Qur'an came down. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes, مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولِ الْكَرِيمِ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْمُونٍ. What a powerful set of ayat. Allah describes the Qur'an, He says that the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, Rasul Kareem, He's the one who's bringing the qawl, He's bringing the word. And who is, what's his station? You know, if you're going to bring an important delivery, you have to have high-ranking officials. When the Pentagon sends an important message to the embassy, they don't just hand it to somebody. They have to encrypt the message, they have to protect it. If it's an important package, it has to have security details, and the people who have access to that kind of package have to have high-level clearance, right? So what's the high-level clearance of Jibreel alayhi salam? He says, "Inda dil arshi makin." He's right under the arsh, that's his status. That's where his office is. And then when he's the quwwah, he's very mighty. Meaning there is no angel as strong as Jibreel alayhi salam. So if someone has the power to protect the message of the Quran when it's coming down, it's going to be Jibreel alayhi salam. He's been chosen. Even if there was no lockdown of the sky, nobody's going to mess with Jibreel alayhi salam. When he opens his wing, there's وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. The entire sky was taken over. You couldn't see the sky, you could only see the wing of Jibreel alayhi salam. That was Rasulullah's experience recorded in the Quran. So he's the one coming down with the Quran. But because the Quran is so important, muta'in, muta'in, he has an entire following, an entire battalion, a legion of angels that surround him like a security patrol. You ever see a president travel and there's a security detail and the whole road is blocked off and cell phones stop working? You ever see that? Well, that happens in the sky when Quran started coming down. The jinn couldn't go wherever they wanted because the roads were locked down by the angels. Jibreel is coming to give Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this Quran. That's what's happening. SubhanAllah. This is the message. This is where it comes from. And then Allah says in that surah, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. You think you're the one among you has a jinn? You think you got this from a jinn? Have you heard what the jinn say? Have you heard what they say? This can't be from us. And people accuse the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, he's, you know, poor guy, a jinn invaded him. He got haunted. You know, that's the word majnoon. This is just being crazy. He's a jinn haunted him. Allah says, you don't even know what you're talking about, how this message came down. And even when it's up with Allah azza wa jal, in lawhul mahfooz, Allah says, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَ. It's in the hand of the most high elite angels who are so noble and righteous. And you know, when you deliver a message, especially a classified message, what happens in the news nowadays? WikiLeaks, right? A little bit gets leaked out because somebody, some official got paid off and he said, okay, I'll give you a little bit, I'll send you a copy. I'll take a picture with my phone and email it to you. Don't tell them it's me. They sell the information, don't they? When people have high-level information, they try to sell it if they can get away with it. Allah Azza wa Jalla even described Jibreel alayhi salam when he delivers the message of the Quran, Ameen. Muta'in tamma, Ameen. He's honest. He's the right person, not just because he's powerful, not just because he's got the surrounding, because he's honest. Because the honesty of this message, the integrity of this message means everything. This is the Quran that came down. And this is the Quran that jinn would just kind of hear and would be baffled by. But this is the same Quran that Abu Lahab would hear, and you know, Abu Jahl would hear. These people would even know, they don't hear it. Nothing would change. They wouldn't be budged. Even though they were overpowered by it. Even though a time came when Walid ibn Mughira was sitting there crying when he heard the Quran. A time came where a bunch of mushrikun were listening to the Quran being recited and the ayah of sajda came and the mushrikun fell into sajda. They couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves. The question then is, if the Quran is this powerful, if it's this incredible, is there a distance, a gap between me and you and the Quran? Is there a gap? Why am I not feeling this book? Why is it when Tarawih is happening and the Imam is reciting the Quran, I'm waiting for the ruhur? That's a problem. That's not a good thing. How many rak'ahs? Is it 8 now? Or is it 10? Or is it 14? Where I lost count? God, was that the first rak'ah or second rak'ah? There are people standing in salah and they're going, there's a problem. This book deserves better. Especially from the people who claim to believe in it. Who believe this is the word delivered by Jibreel alayhi salam from Allah azza wa jalla. This is the thing that will change the map of the world. It already did and it will again. This will change what the world looks like. This is the book that decides where all humanity will go. Where everyone will go. Today in my class, we're studying Tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. I conclude with this, inshaAllah ta'ala. We read a beautiful hadith that Ibn Mabul records in Sunan al-Arab in explaining one of the words, khasab, loss. You know what he tells us? Rasulullah tells us, there is not a single human being who does not have a house in Jannah. Not one. There is not one, Muslim or Kafir, everybody has a house in Jannah. The difference is the believer will go to Jannah. He's going to go to Jannah. And he's going to have a house. And he has a family too. Everyone has a house and a family in Jannah. Waiting. The only difference is the believers will go and get their house. And they'll go and have their family. But then there's a family waiting for the kafar, and a house waiting for the kafar, but they were kafar, they couldn't go to Jannah. So those houses will be handed over to the believers as more family and more houses. That's why Allah says, وَلَيْكَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They are going to inherit Jannah. Muslims are going to inherit Jannah. Not just their own. They're going to take an inheritance, those who couldn't make it. SubhanAllah. But the mercy of Allah that He made a house in Jannah for everyone. You know what Muslims ignorantly say? Well, some people are meant to go to hell. No! Everyone was meant to go to heaven. There are some people who refuse the invitation. That's not Allah's fault. That's the people's fault who refuse the invitation. Like Allah Azza wa Jalla said, or the Prophet says, Kullukum yadkhulu jannah illa man aba. Everybody will go to Jannah except the one who refused. I mention this hadith to you now because this Quran, there's no greater treasure that we're going to have in this life. This is the month for you and me to build a relationship with this book. If you've been ignoring this book, if your family's been ignoring this book, this is the month to fix that. Little by little, one or two ayah, half an hour, 20 minutes, start reciting a little, start learning the meanings a little, start memorizing a little. Give it some time, it deserves that time. And the more we internalize this book, the closer we get to this book, the more our palaces are being built in Jannah, the more those houses, the real estate of those houses is expanding. This book is our ticket to Jannah. This is what Allah gave us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't forget that. And we can't get lazy about it. I know 10 days, get to the 10-day mark, the masjid starts getting a little more empty. Fajr starts getting a little less, you know. Oh, it's just not 10 days. You should be saying, it's already 10 days. That's what I should be saying, that's what you should be saying. Let's start today like it's the first day of Ramadan. Let's do that. Let's be as happy about Ramadan as we were the first day. And let's kick ourselves a little bit and put ourselves into gear. And really ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, because this is the month, you know, the shayateen are chained. And the biggest distraction between us and Quran is the shaytan. Because he knows how powerful it is. That's why Allah says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Seek Allah's refuge from shaytan. So this is the month where Allah has changed shaitan, so you have no excuse to connect to the Qur'an. You have no excuse to be lazy. Outside of this month, when you're reciting Qur'an and you get sleepy, you can say, shaitan got me. What are you going to say this month? That's all you, brother. That's all you, sister. That's all you. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask us about the gifts that we've been given. What about the biggest gift humanity was ever given? May Allah Azza wa Jalla bring us closer and closer and closer to this book and reward us for every second of an attempt that we make to get closer to His Word. May Allah Azza wa Jalla increase us in our knowledge, in our practice, in our commitment, in our love, and our appreciation of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His beautiful Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayat wa dhikril hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موضوعا.